welcome to Pilates Teacher's Manual, your guide to becoming a great Pilates teacher. I'm Olivia, and I'll be your host. Join the conversation and the Pilates community on Instagram at Pilates Teacher's Manual, and visit buymeacoffee.com/Olivia Podcasts to support the show. Today's chapter starts now. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited to share a conversation with you. I'm here with Saren Glanfield, who is the founder of Spring 3, which is an amazing business marketing studio owner extravaganza. I'm going to let her share more about the ways that she helps teachers and studio owners pretty much make their dreams come true, but I'll let her speak on that. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Saren. So happy to have you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Oh, wonderful. First thing I always like to know is, how did you get into Pilates way back when you did?
Well, at the time, I was actually working in New York City. I was working in finance, long hours. I was exhausted. I've always been a mover, always been a runner, always been active, but more sort of intense active, you know, more running and swimming and biking and that sort of thing. And I joined a gym, and as part of that membership, I got access to Pilates sessions on the equipment, fully equipped Pilates studio. It was a free session. And so I was able to go, and I went and I took one session, and it was so challenging. I was like, this is, I need to figure this out. This is interesting. I've not, you know, I feel like I'm a fairly fit, healthy person, and this is a challenge to me. Like, I want to learn more about this. And so I went back for a couple more sessions, and I kind of really got into it. And that was kind of the beginning. And I was very lucky, actually, to have met some really amazing people very early on in my career. And one of those people was really inspiring to me. And you probably will know the name, but I met one of the, after I kind of got into taking sessions regularly, I also started taking sessions at the weekend. And one of the teachers I met, and actually it was her very last class that she offered in New York City before she moved back to California. And that teacher was Alisa Wyatt. And so I took Alisa's class in New York. And at the end of, she's a phenomenal teacher. And I really enjoyed her class. And so I went up to her at the end of the class and I said, oh my gosh, you know, where else can I go? Where do you recommend I go? And she sent me to Rehab, which was Brooke Seiler's studio in New York, Soho at the time. And so I was able to then go down and work out at her studio, and then found my way through that whole kind of period of my life where I was frustrated with my career in finance. I knew that I wanted to do something different. I didn't know what. And now I found something that was really intriguing and interesting to me. And so I kind of, the whole thing kind of evolved from doing something I enjoy doing at 8 o'clock at night after finishing a long day at the office, to being something that I kind of wanted to do more and more and more and learn more about.
So when did you, or how did you transition from day job of finance to day job of Pilates teacher? How did that work for you?
So after I'd been taking some sessions at Rehab, and I was kind of at the point with my career where I felt like I needed to change direction. I was pretty burnt out. I'd been doing that for a long time and had dedicated a lot of my life to that in many ways. And so I decided I wanted to leave the finance world, and I kind of didn't really have a plan B. So I felt, well, this is something I want to invest in myself with, right? And I wanted to learn more about Pilates and how it works and why it works, and immerse myself in it. And that led me to becoming a Pilates teacher. So I went and I took some sessions in various different studios and spoke to people about different training programs, and ultimately ended up in True Pilates in New York, which is Ramana's Pilates studio at the time. And that was it was a totally different world, because I come from a very structured path, career progression, career path, into being in a world where it just wasn't that way at all, right? And so I felt like I was going in very much into the unknown, which is not really how I operate at all. But it was definitely, I kind of dove into it and went through a training program and really enjoyed working hands-on with people. And it was, you know, it's such a fulfilling position to be in, to be working with people in that closely and seeing people's bodies change and outlook change and confidence change. And, you know, the impact that, you know, I see teachers making every day, I think is such a wonderful thing. And I don't regret for a second going into teaching and taking that time to do that. And I really enjoyed teaching, but my life was, we were actually moving from New York back to London at the time. I was also pregnant at the time. And so I knew teaching was going to be a challenge in lots of ways. And ultimately, I knew going into teaching that I thought I wanted to have my own studio, or even, you know, I had aspirations to have multiple studios. You know, that was kind of where I was going with it, because I'm drawn to the business side of this. And, you know, I wanted to be able to share Pilates with people, and I wanted to be able to have a business that was going to be able to deliver that. But when you're moving around the world, it's a challenge to, you know, to build a solid business, because you need to have, you know, there's a significant period of time to build up a client base. And I knew that. So instead of pursuing my sort of vision of opening a studio or multiple studios of my own, I was actually at the time getting asked by many of my colleagues and peers about business and marketing. And, you know, a lot of the answers just come very quite naturally to me, I think, just because of, you know, having studied marketing and having worked in a financial environment, you know, finance-based world. And a lot of these things, they were answers and ideas that, you know, that's kind of how my brain works. And so I found myself helping a lot of my colleagues. And then I was approached by a boutique fitness studio in London to help them develop their business. And then it kind of came from there. And I kind of took the decision to really stop teaching and focus on helping other teachers be able to do what they do really well, because you know, I didn't really want there to be any conflict of interest really between, you know, me teaching my clients and building my business and me helping other people build their businesses. And that was a tough decision, because I really enjoy teaching, but I still occasionally will teach friends and family. So I still get to do that a little bit.
That's so awesome, because that really is, like, I feel like we spend a lot of time on the podcast talking about, you know, what isn't covered in teacher training, and business and marketing is not really covered in teacher training. And if it is at all, it's very cursory, like have a liability waiver or something like that. So tell me, where did the idea for Spring 3 come from? Can you tell me a little bit about that name and how that came?
Oh, the name is, yeah. So Spring 3 is actually my third business. My first business I started when I was 14 years old in school. So yeah, it's a theme. And my first consulting business was out of London, and it was more of a consulting business. And when we relocated back to Florida in 2014, I set up Spring 3. And you know, 3 is, you know, my third business, and Spring is really all about, you know, it's springs and the reformers. It's what makes Pilates Pilates. But it's also about kind of a fresh and new and energizing time of year, right? So it just felt like the right name. So that's how the name came about. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like you've already spoken about it, but like, it seems like this progression that some teachers find their niche and that they're teaching a lot of clients, and suddenly, you know, they're just really vibing with pregnant people, and then pregnant people are just working with them, and then they learn more about working with them just by working with them and by doing additional workshops. And you already had all of this training. I didn't say in your intro, but like from the London School of Economics, like you weren't joking around, like you definitely went in there. And so I guess I would say, like, how it just seems like such a natural progression that you went from, you know, you had this, that you were obviously very good at what you were doing before, but it wasn't fulfilling in the finance world, and you loved Pilates. And so you just found this really beautiful way to mesh this business world, and which teachers need, I gotta tell you, everyone needs.
Yes, and absolutely. And it's, you know, it's funny, I found recently a little notebook that I had that I would jot down little ideas in about my future business when I was going through my training program. And I found it recently tucked in the bottom of an old bag that I used to carry to and from the studio every day. And it was funny because all of these different ideas that I'd had about that I now, with some of them I share with the clients that I work with, and some of them I use in my own business about, you know, and so I am drawn to that business side. It is part of me. And you know, like I said, I studied management at the London School of Economics, which is an umbrella for all types of business studies and marketing to branding to strategy, right? And, you know, I don't expect anyone else. I don't really, you know, no one is expected to go through a program like that before they become a Pilates studio owner at all. And not all of it, by the way, would be anywhere near relevant for this industry. But it is something that isn't often covered in training programs at all. And it's a real shame. And it's one of the things that really was a big motivator for me doing what I do, because when I was in that world and I was, you know, and teaching and in a studio where there was a huge pool of incredible teachers and who were just really making such a huge impact on their clients' lives. And I really felt like it was, even in, you know, New York City, where I feel like people are pretty up on their health and fitness trends, you know, I felt like it was kind of the best kept secret, you know, and I know that there's some feeling of like specialness that might come with that. But when it comes to, you know, building a business and making, you know, generating revenue that's going to allow you to live a life you want to live, you know, that's not so good for you. And so, you know, I felt like there was this huge pool of talent that wasn't as accessible as I would love to see it be more accessible to more people, and for more people to be aware of the amazing and wonderful benefits of doing Pilates. And so a lot of the work that I do with my clients is around, you know, how to talk about what you do, how to share the message, and how to be known for what you do in your local community, or, you know, online, in your online community as well. And so I don't really want Pilates to be a secret. I want Pilates to be, and I want Pilates teachers to, you know, to find the awareness and recognition and have the visibility that, you know, they need and that they deserve for the work that they do.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
Hi there. I hope you're enjoying today's chapter so far. There's great stuff coming up after the break too. Be sure to subscribe wherever you're listening and visit buymeacoffee.com/Olivia Podcasts to support the show. There you can make a one-time donation or become a member for as little as $5 a month. Membership comes with some awesome perks, including a shout out in the next episode, a monthly newsletter, a monthly Zoom call with me, and more. You can also visit links.oliviabioni.com/affiliates to check out some sweet deals on products I use and love. Now back to the show.
So now that you're someone on the outside looking in at Pilates teachers and Pilates studios, what mistake do you see people making, or what advice do you have for that could just, if we just change this one thing, it would change the game?
It's a big question. You know, I think that we mentioned it before, one of the challenges that we face is, you know, we don't have a lot of business training in our teach training programs. And that is what it is. But what that I think then leads to is a lot of looking around and seeing what other people are doing in their business and comparing what, you know, and what I call, you know, the comparisonitis, right? Where we're comparing what we're doing to what we're seeing other people doing on Instagram. We're comparing our business to what we think is happening inside of someone else's business. And we see a studio with this promotion, and so we think we should also have that promotion. Or we see that studio with that type of package, so we think we should have this type of package also. And what that looks like when you kind of take the big picture view, is a lot of tactics being used without intention and without purpose behind them. So there's no strategy, because there is not anything that is pulling those tactics together, that's, they're not being implemented for a reason. And that leads to often a lot of frustration. You know, I've had people say to me things like, I've tried marketing and it doesn't work. I need to do something else. And, you know, it's sort of like, I've tried social media, it doesn't work. What else can I do? I've tried discounting and it doesn't work. You know, my pricing is too expensive. That's why people don't come. And all of those things might be slightly true, but it's probably because when you have played with those different tactics, they haven't been, we haven't sort of taken action or implemented those tactics with a specific purpose or for a specific reason. So I think it's really important for teachers and studio owners to think about what they want for their business versus looking and seeing what other people are doing and kind of like trying things on because it looks like it might work. I really recommend that teachers and studio owners have a vision for what they want for their business and then figure out what strategies, what tactics, what tools they need to get them to their goals. Because what I know, having done this for, you know, I mean, gosh, I'm close to 10 years now, 9-10 years of consulting and coaching in the boutique fitness world, in the Pilates world, is that no two studios have the same vision for what they want. What that means is that there's not going to be the exact same process or strategies or tactics and in the same order that is going to, you know, work for two different businesses and two different business owners. And so we need to be a bit more specific about what we want, and then we can kind of reverse engineer what we need to do to get there.
I have an interview coming out when this airs. It will have come out just a couple of weeks ago with the founder of Conscious Counsel, who does the lawyer legal language in ways that are clear and fabulous when you're accepting cookies on their website, instead of being like, yes, I accept, it just says cool. And I'm like, that's awesome. I feel like that's more fun. And that's literally what he did with his life. When I talked to him, he was on a beach, just like with a hammock next to him, because he knew that he wanted to travel the world and he wanted to help people. He wanted his business to be online. And so I think that sometimes, like, especially I know when I started as a teacher, it's really easy to get caught up in the minutiae. Like, I need to teach places. And so I need to find a bunch of studios and I need to teach these hours and I need to build the schedule that I want, which is something that you want to do, like in a very short-term way, but in a very big picture way, like, what do you want your life to look like? Like, how do you want to feel? How do you want, you know, 5 years from now, is this the schedule you want? Like, it also changes. Like, it's so funny that as fitness instructors and Pilates teachers, our schedule is always the same. Like, if you're teaching Monday nights, you're always there on Monday nights. You might have that class for a year, years, you know, whether or not the same people are there, you stay the same, but your needs change and what you need can change, and kind of adapting, I think, to that as well. So I think there's something to like taking a step back and really looking at not just your day-to-day or your week-to-week schedule, but really like, what do I want this to look like? Because several teachers, you know, you're teaching at multiple studios, you're teaching at multiple places, you're teaching, you know, clients that are your own. It can be very complicated. Like you said, it's not a straight line. Well, I do this and then I do this and then I get promoted, like promoted. So that's, it's much more open-ended, I think, which, as you said, can be so fabulous as well, because you can really have a schedule and have a business that supports you and lets you do all the things that you love.
Absolutely. You know, and many of the studio owners that I work with, I've worked with for many, many years, because what happens is that they have their vision, we work towards it, and then they want to go to the next step, right? And so we need to figure out a plan and a strategy to get them to the next step. And then something will come up, perhaps in their personal life, where they perhaps need to take a step back from their business. And so then we need to work around that. And, you know, I've worked with studio owners who have, through the process of buying businesses, having a family, moving locations, hiring people, and then, you know, remote managing their studio, building a virtual studio, and then even selling a studio, right? We've been through the whole life cycle because, you know, there's you're at different stages, you need different things, and your business needs different things too. And it isn't linear. And when you are also so, you know, in many cases, you are your business, right? And so from year to year, you know, your life's going to probably look slightly different. And so what you need from your business is also going to look slightly different.
Just talking to you, I'm like, yes, I would really appreciate you holding my hand through all of these things, because it's so complicated. And it can be overwhelming if you aren't sure. It seems like a very big thing. So I love the way that you break it down into steps and the way that you break it into pieces. Because what you had said earlier, you know, I tried social media and it didn't work. And it's like, yeah, sometimes, you know. But having the strategies and having the plan, that's got to be so helpful for owners, for teachers, for everybody, just individuals. It's like, well, what do you want to get out of social media? Because it's going to change the way that you interact and change the way that you post and the way you share and everything like that.
Absolutely. And it's different, you know, everyone's in a different spot with that. And you know, it's about looking at the big picture and figuring out which part of the puzzle is missing, right? So let's take that example. If social media isn't working for you, then let's look at why social media might not be working for you. Is it to do with what you're telling people? Is it to do with how often you're on there? Is it to do with the content you're delivering on there? And what do you mean by working for you? Because does it mean that is it going to get you expecting it to bring you 20 new clients a week? Then we need to reset your expectations. It's probably not going to happen, right? So we need to think about, you know, what does working mean? And then we have to also think about, that's if we're relying solely on the social media to build our business, then we're missing out on all these other tools and levers and tactics that we can also utilize that might actually get us what we want faster than social media can. And I definitely am a big fan of doing a lot of local community building and local networking. We can't rely on social media to build our business. It's not the only tool that we have. It's just one of the many that we have in our toolkit. And we need to sort of think about all of those pieces of the puzzle. It's pricing, it's visibility, it's local networking, it's, you know, having an onboarding process for your new clients, it's your marketing messaging and what you're telling people about your business. There's so much to it that we can't just give up on one part and then, you know, throw it all away, right?
I think also when you are an individual or a studio owner and you've got your head down and you're just almost like blinders on what you're doing and you're just like chugging along, that it can be really helpful to have an outside someone who is, you know, supporting you but is not like attached to things and is not like, you can see it more objectively when it's not your baby or not your life that you're looking at. Because I mean, we were just talking about this earlier. It's like, you can get used to pretty much anything. We were talking about it in terms of temperature, but you can get used to working 6 days a week or 7 days a week. Like, you can, that may not be your dream, but if you don't pause, reassess, like reconfigure ever, you can do that for years. Like when I first started teaching, I talked about it in a previous episode, I said yes to everything. And I was teaching 6 days a week and I had a little bit of foresight to be like, maybe not seven. But it, depending on like the studios and what you're teaching at, it can be really easy. It's like, well, it's just 2 hours on Saturday. Like it's just 2 hours. Like, and it's just, you know, and the studio is closed. So it's like, fine. And you start making all these excuses for you to like spread yourself thin, even though, you know, I caught on and I was like, I'm exhausted. I love what I'm doing, but I hate it right now. And that's not what I want. Like I wanted an intervention from you to be like, please, you don't have to do that. Please don't do that. Tell me more about what you're working on in your business. What amazing, cool things are you offering that teachers can check out and be a part of?
Yeah, absolutely. So in my mind, when you're really getting focused on your business, there are two things that you need. You need knowledge. You need some sort of business education that's specific to this industry and what works for your clients. And I've been working one-on-one with clients, with studio owners for years on with a training program that takes you through how to put together a marketing plan, how to put together a marketing message, and all of the components that looks like, from content to pricing to which, you know, to email marketing, social media, and thinking about how you want to represent your business and the language you want to use. Because what I found is that we tend to rely on labels a lot to describe what we do. So people will say we're a Pilates studio, and then people will say, but we're not like every other Pilates studio. We're a X type of Pilates studio. We do this type of Pilates, right? And to us Pilates professionals, you know, we can kind of somewhat distinguish what that means. But the average person walking down the street doesn't know the difference, right? And then we also potentially, I've seen, use people, and this is very common also, use the names of their teachers to describe, you know, what may distinguish them from others. So I've worked with this teacher, I've worked with that teacher. And again, that may help us as Pilates professionals distinguish whether or not that person, you know, is a good teacher or is of a certain standard as a teacher. But it doesn't necessarily help the average person who is looking for Pilates and Googling Pilates in your local town to really know if you're the right person for them. So I'm a really big fan of not using labels, or to use labels as like a checkbox, but we need to share a bit more about what we do in order for us to be able to align ourselves with clients who are looking for what we have to offer. And so I really help my clients to figure out what that language looks like, what their marketing message can look like. And that is really the foundation of how you distinguish yourself and separate yourself from other people who are doing what you're doing, from other studios. So we talk a lot about competition often in this space. We talk a lot about how there are other studios opening and it's going to take our clients from us. And I'm like, no, if you are really clear about what you do, what you help your clients to achieve and how you help them and what makes your experience special, then you don't need to worry about that because they can't offer what you offer. So I'm a big fan of really being able to articulate the value of what you have to offer. I talk about this a lot with my clients. And once you have that nailed down, that piece of the puzzle, that knowledge, that training, and it becomes a part of how you see your business and what you do, then the second thing you need is you need to be able to take action, the things you need to do in your business every single day, or even every single week, every single month, to move your business forward, to get new clients, to continue to retain clients, to keep people engaged, to hire the right people, to manage your time, to build the systems that help perhaps make things a little bit easier. So the way that I work with my clients is I have my marketing intensive program, which is that 6-week educational, that training part of it, which I take you step by step through putting together your marketing message, figuring out how to talk about what you do in a way that really resonates with your clients. I take people through building out that ideal client profile so that they know how or who it is that they want to work with in a way that, you know, fulfills them. And then we build out that marketing strategy, or perhaps fine-tune the marketing that you're already doing. And my next enrollment for the marketing intensive takes place, will start the program on April 12th. And it's a 6-week program. And that is something I do once or twice a year. And like I said, I've been doing this for years one-on-one with my clients, and it has changed the entire kind of the way that they think about their business and the trajectory of their business. And then I have my Thrive membership, which is the action part and the implementation part. And the Thrive membership is a community of studio owners and teachers who are so incredibly supportive. I cannot tell you, the people inside of that group are so amazing and so inspiring. And what they have achieved over the last year, despite everything that has happened in the world, has been just amazing. And we speak every week. So there is a weekly call with me, and we get together on Zoom and we talk up there. We have different sort of themes for each week, but it's predominantly focused on marketing. It's focused on helping you to just take action and not big action. I'm not talking about huge things. We don't need to do anything big, but we just baby steps, small things. And also having the opportunity to voice the challenges that you're facing, to get feedback, to get ideas and inspiration from other people who are also in the same situation, in the same industry, and who are able to support you through this and in this, on this journey. And it also, I think one of the biggest, most amazing parts of this community is I also encourage people and studio owners to share what they are proud of, what they have achieved. And we don't get to do that very often. We don't really talk about that with anyone. I know, at least I didn't when I was a teacher. And this is the place where, you know, I hear their wins every single week, and they are doing amazing things. They are getting clients into their studios. They're getting clients into their virtual memberships, you know, and they are making big strides to building the businesses that they want. And so that's my Thrive membership. And that's available to join anytime.
I think that something that Pilates teachers, I was just talking about this with Claire Mockridge, and virtual has made it even more in the forefront, but that it can be really isolating to be a teacher, because at least the teachers that I taught at, you might be the only teacher there at the time, and you're teaching your class and the studio is pretty much yours, which is fun. You get to play your playlists, but is also can be like lonely because you're not getting to interact with other teachers. You don't get to have feedback or that kind of sense of community. It's so funny that you're creating this sense of community for your students, and you've got people who know each other in class. I just introduced two Caitlins to each other because their names were both spelled the same way. And so they had like a little Caitlin party, and now they're going to be best Pilates friends forever. So you're fostering all this community, but in terms of the community for teachers, maybe you're doing a quarterly studio get together or just an end of year party, but you're not really sharing ups, downs, or day-to-day adventures necessarily, because it's just you. So I love the community aspect of that Thrive membership, that you are able to connect with people and grow together and learn together. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I think the community is, you know, if it's one thing that we've learned over the last year or so, it's that we really need each other, and community is so, so important, and such a, you know, it's so important to all of us. And you know, that was taken away from us very abruptly, right? And I think that it's, you know, it really has, when you find your people and there are people out there who are looking for the same community that you're looking for, and if you can create that amongst your clients, in your studio, then, you know, that is a really wonderful and beautiful thing, because it is just so incredibly important to, you know, what we all are needing right now. It's, you know, we're all humans, right?
Is there anything else you'd like to share about Spring 3 or about the world at large that you can toss in here?
Yeah, I think, you know, if there's one, you know, one thing I would love for everyone to sort of just take a moment to reflect on, it's that I really believe that the work that Pilates teachers and studio owners are doing right now is just so incredibly important to the world. And I know that it's been an exceptionally difficult year, but I do think that hope is on the horizon. And I do see that as studios are beginning to open and we are moving perhaps towards a place where we can work in an environment that is fulfilling and enjoyable again, and get some sense of normal, whatever that looks like, back, that it will become increasingly important for you to do the work that you're doing. And I think that the impact that you're making on your clients' lives, you know, you have an impact on people's health 100%, but you also have an impact on their happiness. And you're also creating a sense of community and a sense of belonging and a sense of connection. And I think that is just so, so, so vital.
Thank you so much for being on today, Saren. I appreciate the work that you're doing to support teachers, because as you said, we need support and connection and community as well. So thank you so much for that and for sharing all of your ideas and your incredible ways to connect. I will be linking to Saren's Instagram and her website so that you can check out her Thrive membership and her marketing intensive if that's for you. But thanks so much for being on the show, Saren.
Oh, thank you so much. I really enjoyed that chat.
Thanks for listening to this week's chapter of Pilates Teacher's Manual, your guide to becoming a great Pilates teacher. Check out the podcast Instagram at Pilates Teacher's Manual and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen. For more Pilates goodness, check out my other podcast, Pilates Students Manual, available everywhere you listen to podcasts. The adventure continues. Until next time.